The following program is produced by the Living Church of God.
What's wrong with the Ten Commandments? Why did the vast majority of professing Christian ministers say the Ten Commandments are done away? Yes, they do. Go ask your minister and see if you don't believe me. You may be amazed. Most of you have been fooled, my friends. Stay tuned.
Tomorrow's World. The Living Church of God presents Dr. Roderick C. Meredith, Richard Ames, bringing you the good news of your future in tomorrow's world. This week, Dr. Roderick C. Meredith asks, what's wrong with the Ten Commandments? And now, Dr. Roderick C. Meredith.
Why do most professing ministers negate the Ten Commandments? Again, what's wrong with the Ten Commandments? Are they not the best standard for behavior ever given to mankind? Wouldn't our entire society be far better off if human beings obeyed the Ten Commandments? No more murder, no more lying and stealing, no more adultery, and very, very few divorces. Our streets and our cities would be safe, my friends. Billions would be saved by virtually eliminating our massive police forces and our huge penal system, which costs us so much money. Old people, young people, even little children would safely go anywhere, day or night. So what's wrong with the virtual utopia that would be created if everyone would simply obey God's spiritual law, the Ten Commandments? Listen, most of you have been misled on this topic. You've been taught the Ten Commandments were nailed to the cross, or they were done away with, or something. You've been misled, and you need to realize that. Remember, my friends, God's commandments are a way of life if people would obey them. And most people have never been really taught about them, and they don't understand them. Most of you were taught to memorize the short form of the Ten Commandments, perhaps in Sunday school, as I was, but you didn't really understand them. And your teacher indicated that maybe they're a good way of life. But please listen carefully. If you now, this very week, go back to your pastor or your priest and ask him if we must obey the Ten Commandments, what will he say? Believe it or not, and you'll find this out, the vast majority of professing Christian ministers will tell you that you don't have to obey the Ten Commandments. That's right. Although they may say, well, they're a good moral guide or something, if you question them carefully, virtually every minister today will tell you that the Ten Commandments are no longer binding. These ministers will claim the Ten Commandments were nailed to the cross, or the Apostle Paul did away with them, or they'll invent some other ingenious explanation for how somehow God's spiritual law is done away. It's not around anymore, and you don't have to keep them. Let me read you some of the Ten Commandments. And listen carefully to what God's spiritual law says. This is the most magnificent, the most balanced, the most helpful law that has ever been given to mankind. And it is truly the law of love. A businessman I was talking with just the other day in the hall of our office here said he calls them the Ten Protectors. They would protect us from so many, many bad things if we as an entire society would keep them. Notice Exodus chapter 20. God spoke all these words saying, I am the eternal your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. The God who spoke this was the personality, the word, the Logos, the spokesman of the Old Testament who became Jesus Christ. So this was Jesus Christ speaking. For God the Father and for Himself, because as Jesus said, I and the Father are one. John 10, verse 30. I and the Father are one. Christ gave this law. Have no other gods before me. My friends, that doesn't seem strange to a lot of you. And in our society today, everybody's supposed to respect everybody else's God, everybody else's belief. But there is one God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, that is revealed in this book. And the one who created everything that is, He is God. And if you start obeying any other God, you're going to get in terrible trouble. And your whole way of life will be wrong before long, and everything is going to go wrong in society, which in fact it is. because people have not obeyed the Creator God. No other gods are you to have before the true God. You shall not make for yourself any carved image, anything to worship, he goes on to explain. And boy, have we done that in our society. We even try to put the great God and put him into a box, into a picture frame. You can't take the magnificent glory of the Creator of heavens and the earth, that powerful, that wonderful God with heat and light and power emanating out from him, and put that in a picture frame. There's no way you can do that. And yet men have pictures of Jesus Christ, who is God, and all this kind of thing. And they usually have long aquiline Roman or Greek features on him, European features, not a Jew. He was a Jew. And they changed that all around as well. You're not to do that. You shall not take the name of the Eternal, your God, in vain. People toss God's name around so cheaply. And in many workplaces, you'll find them mentioning God this and that, and mention the word of Jesus carelessly, as though it's just some fill-in word. That's a cheap way to talk about the being that gives you life and breath. And you are not to do that. And then he goes on to say, verse 8, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Eternal your God. And you're not to do any work in that day. And he says in verse 11, for in 6 days the Eternal made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and he rested the seventh day. Not just any day, the seventh day. Therefore the Eternal blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. He made that day holy. And all through human history, we found societies where men are forced to work too much, and they don't have any time to think about their Creator. And God blessed a certain period of time, and that period of time points to him as the Creator. That's why he said, rest the seventh day. That points to the true God, the Creator God. And that law is a wonderful law. And if all society were trying to keep the Ten Commandments, frankly, the Sabbath commandment would be the very easiest commandment to keep, because you just keep it one day a week, in a sense, and you rest on that day. You worship God and you rest on that day. But that's a wonderful command when you understand it. Verse 12, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Wow, how society would change for the better if every young person was really taught and schooled in that by his parents, his grandparents, all of his friends, his teachers, everything, to honor his father and mother. You shall not murder. Our society would be transformed if people would obey that commandment, and we would be safe everywhere. You shall not commit adultery. How much happier people would be if they were taught to really love and honor their mate and be loyal, as Christ is loyal to the church, the husband loyal to the wife, and vice versa. A way of life. Thou shalt not commit adultery. And marriages would be so much more secure and so much more happy. You shall not steal. And we know what that would do to change our society if people would obey that. You shall not bear false witness, lying. We've seen our politicians lie. We've seen other leaders lie. People see lie all through society, and others cheat the government on this and that and steal. You shall not steal. You shall not lie. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You're not to covet anything that is your neighbor's. And our society says, go out and get this. You deserve this. Buy more, buy more, buy more with money you don't yet have. And people are virtually taught to covet, and they lust for one another's wives. They lust for other possessions, and they're breaking God's law, and they're unhappy. God's law is a wonderful protector. It could be called the Ten Protectors. What's wrong with this perfectly balanced law from our very Creator, the one who made our bodies and minds and knows what's good for us? As the young people say, let's get real. The key question, my friends, is, did Jesus Christ know what he was talking about? Please listen to me. Christ gave the Ten Commandments. Christ later came and magnified the Ten Commandments. And yet modern ministers are saying, you don't need them, they're done away, blah, 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 blah. Did the Son of God's teachings have to be improved upon? Did Jesus know what true Christianity is all about? Did it have to be re-explained and clarified and changed by men, by theologians during the Dark Ages? Notice what Jesus Christ actually taught. Matthew chapter 5, and beginning in verse 17. Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets, Jesus said. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. The word fulfill does not mean do away. It simply means he fulfilled it. He carried it out. He set us the example that we should follow in His steps. He was the light that God sent into the world to show us how to live. For He said, "Assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled." Every little bit and piece of the Ten Commandments is to be fulfilled finally in those who are going to be in God's kingdom. "Whoever therefore breaks," notice this, "one of the least of these commandments." Whoever breaks anyone. Some people try to say the fourth commandment is the least, and we can break that and jerk that right out of the middle of the commandments and do away with it. No, we can't. But whichever one you think is the least, do you think the least one is thou shalt not commit adultery because you want to do that, or you want to steal or lie? No, they're all part of God's law, the 10 points of God's law, the 10 protectors. "Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven." And frankly, other scriptures show you won't even be in the kingdom of heaven unless you repent of breaking the commandments. So you might teach them or against them or break them, but later you better repent if you're going to be there at all. "But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." Whoever does and teaches even the least of the commandments. Then he goes down, as you'll see here, in verses 21 to 23. "You've heard that it was said of old, you shall not murder. But I say it unto you," he's saying, "don't even be angry against your brother. Don't have the spirit of hate, because that is murder. You're breaking the spirit of the law." And then he says in verse 27, talking about another one of what commandments? The 10 commandments, verse 27. "You have heard that it was said of old, you shall not commit adultery. But I say unto you, whoever looks on a woman to lust after her has already committed adultery with her in his heart." You're breaking the spirit of the 10 commandments. You're doing it in your mind. Don't do it, because that will protect marriages. And all these commandments protect us. The commandment against murder would protect us from so many tragedies and awful things. How clear can you get? Jesus Christ was magnifying the law of God, and He was making it more real and more binding. Why aren't all Christians taught to obey all 10 of the 10 commandments, my friend? Think about it. This is so important. At this point, I urge you to call or write about enrolling in a course that will literally change your life. It is the Tomorrow's World Bible Study Course. This thorough and eye-opening course will make the Bible come alive for you. It will lead you step by step through the key issues of the Bible. The Tomorrow's World Bible Study Course will help you understand and prove to yourself the powerful truths that you're hearing on this program and truths you've never heard before. So call or write today and ask for your free enrollment in the first few issues of our Bible study course. Then you'll get more as you take the test, always for free. Just ask for the Bible study course.
For your free personal enrollment in the new Tomorrow's World Bible Study course, call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501304, San Diego, California, 92150. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insight on today's important issues. No cost, no obligation to you. Call today.
Now back to our topic, what's wrong with the Ten Commandments? Turn again to Matthew 5, where we were. Many of you who've tuned in late, we're talking about what's wrong with the Ten Commandments and how they are the perfect spiritual law of God. They are the 10 protectors, as a matter of fact, of our entire society, if we would really understand. Notice Matthew 5, and I'm going to read again, verse 27 and 8. "You've heard that it was said of old, you shall not commit adultery." But what does Jesus say? Does He say, oh yeah, you can commit adultery now. The 10 commandments are done away. You don't have to worry about adultery and fornication. Just run around like so many bunny rabbits. That's okay with me. No, He did not say that. That's the attitude people are getting today, but Jesus did not say that. Rather, Jesus Christ said, "But I say unto you that whoever looks on a woman to lust after her has committed adultery already with her in his heart." He magnified the law. He made it all the more holy, as Isaiah said that he would. He enlarged the law. He made the law of God even more binding. So we're not only not to kill, we're not to hate. We're not only not to commit adultery, we're not even to lust after another person than our mate. We're not to steal. We're not to think about stealing. We're not only not to, you know, do a lot of things. We're not to have our mind on those things. Jesus Christ affirmed and even strengthened the great spiritual law of Almighty God. Notice Matthew 19 now. Matthew 19, verse 16. Now behold, one came and said to him, "Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" And Jesus Christ said, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter life," my friends, do you want to enter life, the right life? And do you want to enter eternal life and live forever in the kingdom of God? This is what Jesus is talking about. If you would enter life, keep the commandments, plural. What set of commandments was he talking about? Do you think there was any possible doubt in the mind of this young Jew? They were taught the Ten Commandments from childhood. That was their basic law. They understood, but Jesus, of course, went on and explained it to him. He said to him, "Which ones?" This young man, and Jesus spelled it out. "You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and mother." Did the Son of God know what Christianity ought to be about? Of course he did. He was the very one who founded Christianity. He didn't need some other person to come along later and try to change it around. Notice what Jesus said in Luke 16, verse 16. He said the law and the prophets were until John. Then some theologians say, well, that's all they had, just the law and the prophets, and then they were all done away right at that time when Jesus came along. Does it say that? No, it does not say that. That's all they had until Christ came along. They were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached, and everyone is pressing into it. The kingdom of God, the word kingdom means government. Is the kingdom of God going to be without a law? Well, you read all through the Old Testament, Isaiah 2 and Micah 4 and the other scriptures talking about the coming kingdom of God, and they show clearly that the law of God will go forth from Jerusalem when Christ kingdom is set up on this earth. That kingdom has laws, and those laws are the Ten Commandments. Those are the fundamental laws. And so, he said, it is easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for one tittle, one tiny crossing of a T or dotting of an I, you see, to pass away. And so not one part of God's law is going to fail. Whoever divorces his wife... Now he mentions one of the Ten Commandments, get this, to show what law he is talking about, and he certainly shows that law is binding, but this very statement, very binding. Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery, and whoever marries her who is divorced from her husband commits adultery. Wow, he's making that law strong. And yet in another place, he said that except for porneia, or fornication, premarital sex, or whoredom after marriage, that might be an exception. But except for that thing that Jesus said, and one or two other things, like the Apostle Paul commented on fraud, or on the matter of desertion by the unconverted mate, you're bound to your mate, except for a very few reasons. And marriage is binding before God. But was Jesus just testing or teaching these truths about the law of God to Jews only? Think about that. That's another argument the theologians use, that he was just teaching these truths to the Jews. Was there to be a double standard where the Jews had one standard and the Gentiles had another standard in Christianity? Think about that. God says there is no respect of persons. There's no double standard. So let's understand. He had one standard, and he tells us again and again to keep the commandments. And now see what the Son of God said about this matter after everything was nailed to the cross. Was there to be a different teaching going around after Jesus' death? Think about that. Did Jesus indicate that there might be a change and that a change would be coming? He was God in the flesh. He should know if there was supposed to be some change in his teaching. Did he indicate that? Were the theologians during the Dark Ages supposed to change the whole approach to God and the whole approach to obedience to our Creator? Think about it. Of course not. Here's what Jesus said. Turn to Matthew chapter 28, as you'll see as you look over these last couple chapters of Matthew. This was after Jesus' death. after our sins were paid for, after everything was nailed to the cross that was nailed there, after the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said this, chapter 28, verse 18, then Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. He knows he is God. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things. Teaching them what? Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And he told them to keep the commandments. That if you teach and obey even the least of the commandments, you will be great in God's kingdom. And that you're to obey the commandments. Teaching them, that is all nations, to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, notice this, I am with you even to the end of the age, even to the consummation of the age. This teaching was not to be changed at all. It was to carry right on, and Jesus said that. That's what he said. Read this carefully. How dare these theologians come along and say that the great spiritual law of God is done away? That is amazing how they can do that and somehow get away with it in the name of Christ. And now let's notice what the Apostle Paul actually taught. He's the so-called champion of the liberals. They think he did away with the commandments. Well, he did not. I taught the Epistles of Paul class for about 30 years, and I could spend program after program showing you how Paul upheld the law, kept the law, obeyed the law. Notice 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 19. Here's what Paul wrote. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing, but keeping the commandments of God is what matters. Get that. Paul's writing, keeping the commandments of God is what matters. You better believe it. That whole way of life would bring us peace and joy, and that is the way of life that will be extant in the coming kingdom of God, and we'd better learn to practice that way of life here and now, my friends. But most ministers have been taught that the sacrificial and ceremonial laws and the Ten Commandments were both done away. And somehow in their seminaries, they mixed the two all up together. And that's not true. Not true at all. And the entire New Testament makes that very clear if you read it carefully. These deceived ministers confused two different types of law and perverting the writings of the Apostle Paul. They twist Paul's writings when they do that. Maybe they're sincere. I hope they are. Let's turn to the book of James, chapter 2, and verse 10. James says, for whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, this law has points. What law is this? If you stumble in one point, he is guilty of all. For he who said, do not commit adultery. Oh, he's talking about the Ten Commandments, isn't he? Whoever said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not murder. Now, if you do not commit adultery, but you do murder, you have become transgressors of the law. How can you become transgressors of the law, pray tell, if the law has been done away? Think about that. The law has not been done away, or James could not possibly write this. And he goes on to say, so speak and so do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty. God's commandments are the ten protectors. They're the law of liberty. They would free us from murder, from war, from rape, from robbery, from all kinds of sorrows, just permeating our entire society. Now let's understand finally what the beloved disciple of Jesus wrote, John, who was the beloved disciple. 1 John 3 and verse 4, he says, whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, for sin is lawlessness. Or as the King James has it, sin is, this is the definition of sin is the transgression of the law. And my friends, your entire New Testament shows that you repent of sin. You've got to turn away from sin and deeply repent of sin before God even gives you the Holy Spirit, before you're even converted. You've got to quit sinning. You've got to say, I'm sorry, and try to go the other way. That doesn't mean you'll be perfect, but you'll be walking a different way of life. And so that's the key. He said then a little later in verse 22, whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments, plural, and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Yes, we keep God's commandments if we're expecting our prayers to be answered. Isn't that clear? 1 John 5, verse 2, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God. People say, we just got to have the love of God. Here it is. This is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, plural, and His commandments are not burdensome. They're not too hard to keep. With the help of God's Spirit, you can keep them as a way of life. And Christ can keep them in you, living within you through the Holy Spirit. So that's the whole key. And that is how we truly know God and walk with God, by keeping His commandments and having Jesus live His life within us. No, there's nothing wrong with the Ten Commandments. Absolutely nothing. But there is a very real Satan, the devil, who has deceived professing Christians into thinking God's spiritual law was done away. Therefore, Satan has led even professing Christians into sin and into utter confusion. That is why even professing Christian nations now have multiple thousands of their young men out butchering each other in war after war for the past hundreds of years. And that is why professing Christians are filled with sin and lawlessness. For in attacking the Ten Commandments, Satan has attacked the very basis of the character of God, the character God wants to put within us through His Holy Spirit. Think about that. Again, my friends, how can you really be sure about all these things and prove them? One of the very best steps you could possibly take is to call or write immediately and ask for a free enrollment in the Tomorrow's World Bible Study course. It's a course that will help you truly understand the big issues of life. Call right now and request your free enrollment in the Tomorrow's World Bible Study course. Just ask for the Bible Study course. Call now.
For your free personal enrollment in the new Tomorrow's World Bible Study course, call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insights on today's important issues. No cost, no obligation to you. Call today.
Be sure to tune in next week to another powerful Tomorrow's World program. You will be taught and challenged with this exciting program on a topic seldom understood in our modern professing Christian world. And tune in every week as Richard Ames and I give you the real meaning behind today's news and the meaning of life itself. See you right here next week.
The Bible study course offered on this program is yours absolutely free if you call 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. Be sure to visit our webpage at www.tomorrowsworld.org. The preceding program was produced by the Living Church of God.